Welcome back to The Comixologist, coming to you not live from New York City at Slim and Kazam.
Episode 450.
Really?
Lucky number 450, yep.
Beautiful.
What a show we have planned today.
What a show indeed. What a week.
What a life.
What a life.
We have.
So, first off, in case you didn't know, we've got wonderful new things. Wonderful new things like Comixology Conversations,
mm-hmm.
Our new feed just for you.
If you can't get enough of us talking about our recommendation picks for you every week, we have debuted a new iTunes feed for Conversations with Creators, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes. The first episode is live. It's Jen Vaughn. It's our live traveling podcast party from San Diego.
In case you couldn't make it, in case you were not in San Diego with us, you can now listen to all of the magic that happened.
There's a lot of magic in that episode.
So much magic. I totally forgot when we were going through that again to make sure it was A-OK to post. I totally forgot that I talked for like 10 minutes about Barbie Queen of the Prom.
Oh, I remembered.
It's like one of the greatest board games of all time.
They reached out to us for a sponsorship deal. I had to turn them down.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I had to say no, and I made that up.
Terrible.
If you listen
If you listen on
SoundCloud, you won't have to subscribe to anything new. The interviews will just come into that feed generally, and they're already one. The Jen Vaughn is there now. They'll come out Mondays and Fridays, and then Friday's show we have Alesh Kott to talk about his new book Wolf. Zero and Material.
Yeah, that was a great interview. I'm really excited
we did great.
To get that one up.
You did great. I did great.
We did great.
Alesh obviously did great in that interview.
We've got some new interview-specific intro-outro music from DJ Curse Salazar.
Guy's a legend in these parts. Our own Ivan Salazar did the intro music. Boy, we also... Oh, our newsletter debuted.
To rave reviews.
The reviews are in. We have like a monitor in the office where it's like a ticker tape review feed of the newsletter, and it was just through the roof. That's not true. We don't have that. I'm breaking down the veil that we don't have that ticker tape review system.
We should. We should submit a budget request.
I think we should do that. I think Panic makes an app called Status Board where we can just have a TV dedicated to that.
We should do that. It'll add some ambiance to our penthouse studio.
Ambiance. I think is the correct pronunciation. But we also have a sign up. If you want to sign up for a newsletter, I'll have a link to it in the show notes as well. And the newsletter, again, is just Kara and myself talking about other books and other things happening in life. You know, we want to form a connection with you. A real connection. Vibrant.
Can you make that a little less creepy, please? You terrifying old
man. I can't turn down the creep factor over here. It's just on 24/7.
So I'm in such a giggly mood right now because I just read some delightful comic books.
Wait, first I have to point out two things. We were going through the transcript for the Jen Vaughn interview, and there was one segment that said like Kara colon giggles, and then it like started your sentence. It was pretty funny. I snipped that out. But we have new releases too. We have to go through.
Oh yeah,
huge week.
Do that real quick.
Let me pull up the new releases document here.
It was a huge week.
Wolf.
Alesh Kott.
Alesh. Cyborg, new from DC. If you're into Teen Titans Go, right? James is addicted to Teen Titans Go, by the way, in our household.
Good.
I heard the Waffles song about a million times. let's see. The Flash, Star-Lord, and Kitty Pryde. New.
Fancy.
From Marvel.
Do they both have jackets now?
I can't reveal that. You have to buy it and find out. Archie versus Sharknado.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking about that one.
I had assumed as much. Harley Quinn and Power Girl. Number 2. Out today. Prez. Promethe, number 2 from our dear friends at Delcor.
How are you pronouncing that? Oh, wait. They took the accents out. That's right. Okay.
How do you say it correctly?
Well, the French version has basically like accents and all the E's, and it's pronounced Promethe.
I can't do that.
I know. And
my vocal cords would self-destruct.
They took the accents out for the English version because Americans are terrified of accents. That's my reasoning. I just looked at you and I said, but Matt's scared of accents. So just take them out.
Promethe. So there's actually 4 issues out today from Delcor, which are in English. So go buy them immediately. What else we got here? New Five Ghosts from our dear friend Frank Barberi.
Power Up. You're not talking about Power Up?
Tell me about Power Up right now.
It's the new addition to the magical girl subgenre by Kate Leth and Matt Cummings.
Oh, okay. I heard about that. I heard rumblings on the social media.
You might have seen a rumble on the social medias for me because I did the Tumblr review for that this week.
I haven't even seen that yet. I was on a train for 2.5 hours this morning, so I'm a little behind on Kara's reviews. I apologize to everybody. The final issue of The Punisher came out today.
Final issue of Cowl. Final issue of Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, my word. There's a lot happening. What did you read this week?
Let's talk about Archie vs. Sharknado. Sharknado 3 dropping tonight on Sci-Fi. Archie decided that they wanted in. So here we are. We live in a world where you can read Archie vs. Sharknado. That comic exists, and you can get it wherever you are right now. Comixology.com.
Is this like essentially the movie, but with Archie? It takes place in, is it Riverdale?
It does take place in Riverdale. I'm very proud of you for knowing that. Listen, just whatever you're expecting when you go into a comic called Archie vs. Sharknado, oh wow, will your expectations be met and exceeded? Yes.
Oh my word.
Yes.
The cover did look amazing. It was like an Evil Dead homage.
It's beautiful. There's a glorious reference to, there's like a nod to Tara Reid in there. She
legendary
was in,
actress.
Well, she was in Sharknado and Josie and the Pussycats. Mm. She was Melody. So Melody's in here and they have a cute joke about it. And, well, my favorite part, listeners of the show will know that, you know, I'm a feminist. And this Archie vs. Sharknado book is basically like a giant feminist Betty and Veronica kick butt while everyone else is useless book.
I'm into it.
Yeah. It's great. At one point, they look at this downed helicopter. They're trying to get home because they were in Washington, D.C. for reasons. And they're trying to get back. And Betty looks at this, like, totally demolished chopper. And she's just like, you know what? I can fix that. Just keep the sharks away from me. So Veronica's, like, beating up all these sharks while Betty is jerry-rigging this helicopter to have, like, bladed blades so they can literally slice through the Sharknado on their way home.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's just this great shot of Veronica with, like, a crossbow, and there's flame throws everywhere. It's beautiful.
Did you see Jurassic World?
I actually haven't seen that yet.
Oh, okay. There was a scene...
I'm a terrible child of the 90s. I'm so sorry, everyone.
There was a scene where the main lead actress, is it Bryce Dallas Howard, I think? And I was, like, waiting for her to have, like, this total BA moment, and there was one part where there was, like, a Jeep broken down, and it didn't look like Chris Pratt could fix it, so I was like, oh, she's gonna fix it and, like, show everybody, but she didn't. I thought it was going
to
be cool.
See, that makes me not want to see it. Like, if you're trying to
judge
sell me,
oh, I wasn't going to try to sell anything. I just wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
In that one scene.
Okay. So Archie vs. Sharknado is not that.
Okay. I'm into it.
Can I make a super quick segue before you tell me what you read?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Archie vs. Predator. Number 4 came out today. That arc is wrapped. Our new favorite person, Alex DeCampi. Well, he's my new favorite person.
Your
Alex
new BFF.
DeCampi. I just love her. I just love all her work. Archie vs. Predator. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Everyone needs to be reading this book. It's ridiculous. It's so perfect. The Archie cast just works for everything.
Is Predator, like, hidden among them as a student, or is he still kind of on the hunt ripping spines out?
No. He's ripping spines out. He just got Dilton in the other episode.
Oh, no.
In the other issue. Let's just say that the last panel is the most hilarious/terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life.
Mm.
It's beautiful.
That's high praise.
And again, super feminist moment for Betty and Veronica. They're just like, well, we'll just fix it ourselves. It's fine. It's fine. We're gonna get this going. A little bit of a plot twist towards the end with the Predator that I don't want to talk about, but I was, you know, a little creeped out, but also like, yeah, okay. Okay, I can see that. I see it.
What's your favorite Predator movie?
I've never seen any of them.
Get Out.
I've read Archie vs. Predator. Does that count? I remember Alien vs. Predator came out when I was in high school, because at the time I was friends with some nerd boys who wanted to go see it, and it was like all they would talk about. And I was like, why do you want to see this? And they were
nerd
like, why
boys.
Don't you want to see this?
Is nerd boy a pejorative? How do you even say that word, pejorative? for Jordan. An insult.
Rewind. No, it's like, you know, just, yeah, they were nerds and they were boys. So they
nerd
were
boy.
Nerd boys. You're a nerd like a, boy.
Like if you yell down the street, hey, nerd boy, how is that going to come across?
I don't know. I think it sounds cute. I don't know. Write to us. What do you think? Letters at comixology.com.
And how do you correctly pronounce pejorative? All right, my turn. Enough veiled insults to, you know, boys like me who are nerds.
I think it's cute, but continue.
Amazing Spider-Man is one of the books I read, but the first one I'll talk about is Wolf from our dear friend Alesh, who will have an interview dropping Friday on our new Comixology Conversations feed with amazing art by Matt J. Batt, colorist to the stars. Wolf is, let me just lay it down for you.
Okay.
Paranormal investigator, LA noir, the apocalypse.
Wow.
That's it.
That's a lot.
That's all you need to do. And it's 64 pages.
Really?
First issue. And I think 58 of it is just pure comics, no ads. So props to Alesh for making that happen. A huge first issue. So if that minuscule pitch did anything for you, buy it. And if not, then tune into our interview with Alesh on Friday, which covers a ton of topics, including the end of Zero. And if you've read the end of Zero, you probably fell over and need to be resuscitated.
Yeah, you've been all about that series.
I have. It's amazing.
What is Zero about?
Zero is about an undercover... Well, he's like a spy that has been kind of bred into the life of a secret spy. Mm-hmm. And it's about his secret missions and how that affects him and the inner workings of the department who controls him. And it started out with each issue is done by a different artist. So hugely stylized issues and fantastic.
Beautiful.
Amazing Spider-Man 238 through 239.
Talking about that now?
Yes.
Okay.
We were going into it.
Okay.
I went into the archives. We released it Tuesday. And this is the famous cover of Hobgoblin tearing apart the Spider-Man suit in half on the cover.
Never seen it.
Get out. Just kidding. And this is the debut.
You gave up on life, didn't you?
You gave up on life, didn't you? We were watching the Team America World Police puke video on YouTube yesterday.
You were watching it, and you made me watch it.
Kara and I had an important meeting about the future of the podcast, 2015, 2016, and I said, Kara, we need to loosen up a bit. Watch this video.
It was terrible. I thought it was... Like, I love that movie, but, like, objectively, it's terrible.
So. And my favorite part is the woman yelling down from the window, which we can't even recite the first scene. But irregardless, Amazing Spider-Man, appearance.
Regardless. It's not irregardless.
Irregardless.
It's regardless.
Amazing Spider-Man, first appearance of the Hobgoblin. And this takes place with the Ramitas on art, so it's gorgeous looking. And a crook who escapes Spider-Man because Spider-Man, you know, he caught three of these thieves and four got... like kind of far away in the sewers, so he let him go because he had other stuff to do, I think. And this guy stumbles upon Norman Osborn's secret goblin lair.
Ooh.
And he tells his kind of boss that he found this stuff. And the boss, once he gets the goods, he kills that guy, obviously. That guy's dead. And he repaints the costume, adjusts it a little bit, and becomes Hobgoblin. And this is the intro to that. It was really interesting. I've never read this before, but there were some really cool lines where Hobgoblin is in shadows. At this point, they don't reveal who it is.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how Norman, it was a genius, but also a psycho in constructing this stuff. And he was saying how he must have been a psychopath because he could have made more money by selling this kind of aircraft technology than he ever could with crime.
Is this Norman guy, is he the cute guy who looked kind of like James Franco in the Amazing Spider-Man movies? I need a frame James of reference.
let me backtrack here. My mind is in mush. James Franco played Harry Osborn in the movies. Son of Norman Osborn.
That's what I'm remembering then. It was actually James Franco, not some dude who looked like James Franco?
No, it actually was James Franco.
Okay.
You make it sound like this movie came out in 1940. Like, you have this vague recollection. It came out months ago.
I'm trying to get a frame of reference here. Wait, is Hobgoblin the character that has the jack-o'-lanterns that it throws at people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've seen that on t-shirts on Nerd Boys. Okay, I have a frame of reference. I have visuals to accompany the words that you're okay. saying now. Thank you.
No problem.
James Franco throwing pumpkins.
Had nerd boys. So this is a really cool little debut of Hobgoblin. And later down the line in Spider-Man, they reveal who it is. But this was a cool, you know, back to basic Spider-Man where he was trying to make ends meet, which selling photographs. Aunt May, trying to make money, has turned their home into kind of like a boarding house.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that.
Pre-Airbnb?
This Aunt May actually started what became Airbnb.
Wow, little known comic yeah. fact.
Take that to the bank.
Beautiful. So,
oh, boy.
Let's talk about some series that ended today
okay.
that I have been enjoying. So one of them is COWL, C-O-W-L, stands for the Chicago Organized Workers League. And it's a story about if the superheroes in Chicago had unionized following World War II and had been paid by the city for full-time protection so that they could be full-time superheroes. And Chicago has kind of a history of being
amazing,
a mob hotbed, oh. a union hotbed, that kind of thing. I don't know. I've been there twice. The first time I went, I was on a lot of like history tours. I did the architectural boat tour. I learned a lot of stuff. Some mm-hmm. of it stuck, some of it didn't.
That amazing hotel we stayed at C2E2, the greatest hotel of all time.
Which I later learned, it was the Blackstone, P.S., and which I later learned was like the spot for like shows, and one of my favorite Golden Age Hollywood actresses was there all the time. And
Mae West. Was it Mae West?
No. But
Doris Day.
Wait, can we go back to the comic, yes. please? So the reason I like the COWL series so much, or liked because it's done, is because, I need a moment. It's stunningly rendered. It's one of those books that makes you feel like you are in a different place. Actually, one of the fans of the comic made a soundtrack, like a jazz soundtrack, for the comic, and they actually have a page for that in this issue that came out today that tells you more info about that, which I thought was really cool. And it's just a really interesting look at a different way to do superheroes, and the colors are just so good. So good. The art is just so good.
We're running out of tape right now. We still have a lot to get to.
Edward Scissorhands also wraps this week. And I only saw the movie once in college, actually. But
a couple months ago.
I'm not that young. But I'm flattered. No. So actually, that's an interesting segue into this book, because the second story arc for Edward Scissorhands, the comic, the comic series takes place like way after the movie. Like the movie was about the girl Kim, like finding Edward. Yeah. So this story is about her granddaughter actually like meeting Edward and discovering things that the town forgot about. And that was the first story arc. And the second story arc is actually about Image and how you want to be seen by others, and if you feel comfortable with yourself, the way that you look and the way that you present yourself to the world. And it was very well done. And the art style on this book just suits the feel of the film so well. I actually, there's an interview with the artist at the back of this issue that came out today, where he talks about how when he was coming up with the character designs, he actually went back to Tim Burton's original sketches for the movie. As opposed to, you know, Edward Scissorhands looking like Johnny Depp in this comic, he looks like Tim Burton's original idea of the character, closer to that. So,
had you seen the video of Nicolas Cage dressed as Superman for the Tim Burton Superman film?
I saw stills from it, but I haven't seen the video.
It looks magical.
Did it change your life? Is that why you're wearing a Superman shirt today?
If the movie had come out, we could be in a different desk right now. You know, I don't. Who knows?
The butterfly effect.
Different state, different country. The Nicolas Cage Superman butterfly effect is what it's called.
We would already be on Mars already.
Tell me about a book that we both fell in love with this week. Star Punch Girl.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's... Okay, so this is a great example of how you can use the comic medium to tell stories without necessarily using dialogue. And Star Punch Girl is about this girl who goes to create life on new planets. And the way that they represent this is so cute. Like, in the first issue, she comes up on this planet, and she, like, opens her little manual about, like, how to start new life, and she plants these little seeds. These little apes come out, and she helps them, like, grow into humans, and she's, like, chilling, watching over them as they develop their civilization. Let's talk about the colors. I know I always rave about colors, but my goodness, the colors in Star Punch Girl. Everything's, like, poppy and neon, and yeah. I just want all of it on a t-shirt so I can wear it all the time.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous-looking book, and there's no words. It's all told in visual style, you know, this cosmic being, Star Punch Girl. You can see her try to create this world from afar. And the artwork is gorgeous. Storytelling is really good. And it's just funny seeing how she tries to start like an Earth-like civilization, and then how it like evolves and how it starts to see her as being this kind of godlike creature to the people that evolve on this planet. It was really interesting. And as we were doing research in the book to find out more about it, there's actually a SoundCloud link on their website for music to listen to while you read it. And it's like this cool kind of 8-bit, 16-bit kind of video game vibe.
Yeah, it was great. There are a few nods to that style of video gamery in here too, which I thought was really cute.
You know how we both love video gamery. You're gaming all the time.
LOL.
At your desk.
No.
What was the last video game you played?
Pokemon Silver.
Then, you know, I think it's right up your alley. And actually, if you want to experience what we experienced, pure joy, you can get this first issue for free. Issue 2 just came out today. So if you go to comixology.com/redeem and enter PunchPod, PUNCHPOD, you'll get the first issue for free.
Faux free. Faux you.
We got a lot of letters this week. A lot of letters.
Inundated with mail. Thank you all. Letters@comixology.com.
Let's see here. First, dearest comixologists, probably more Kara than old man Matt. My son is obsessed with Teen Titans Go, and I believe we've watched every episode ever aired. It's just like my family. I have come to realize that Raven is my spirit animal. Where can I start reading to become one with the demon-human hybrid that I wish to emulate? Thanks for all that you do, Amy. Thanks, Amy.
Amy, we're about to get real deep. Real deep. Teen Titans was such a big part of my adolescent years, and Raven is just the best. You've chosen well. Raven is just incredible. I think the best place to start if you wanted to get old school would be to check out the original 80s Wolfman Perez run on the new Teen Titans.
Is that the one with like the Judas contract stuff?
So this is where, if you saw the Teen Titans show on Cartoon Network in the mid-2000s, this is largely what it was based off of, was this version in the 80s where the sidekicks from the original Teen Titans series in the 60s come together again, this time because of Raven and her dad Trigon, who maybe wants to destroy reality. Maybe Raven wants to stop him.
Maybe.
So that's where you would start. At the time of the Teen Titans show, that's when I actually discovered comics. And my way of getting into comics was through the run on Teen Titans that Geoff Johns did in the mid-2000s, which also has some pretty cool Raven storylines. And so I would recommend that because I'm biased. And then if you want something a little closer to Teen Titans Go or the Teen Titans series from the mid-2000s, you could read the Teen Titans Go comics, which were based off of that version of the show and are really cute. Or my personal favorite, Tiny Titans, where all of the little titans go to Sidekick Elementary, and Trigon is the principal and Slade is their teacher.
What came first, Teen Titans Go or Tiny Titans?
In terms of the
anything,
Tiny Titans, the comic, was coming out in the mid to late 2000s. So it precedes Teen Titans Go, the television show.
Well, now, I actually own some of those Judas Contract issues in print because I used to sometimes get comic books at my CVS because they used to package them in like three packs and you can never really see what the middle one was.
Okay.
It was really weird. Probably all other old fogey nerd boys might remember that kind of era.
I was trying not to say anything, but you know, thank you.
And also we should remind everyone that in our show notes, we'll have a link to every book that we talked about on the show. We have a fancy page made up that includes, it's on our website, that has all the links to the books.
So fancy.
Next up, run out of tape. It's going to be a long one. Hey, Comixologist, pumped to hear your newsletter is starting up.
Yay.
Maybe it even goes out today and this email crosses paths with it on the internets. I imagine the two emails meeting up somewhere in Tennessee, giving each other a high five, then continuing to their mailboxes, all at the speed of light. It's like fist bumping in Tron.
Love it. Love it.
It was great to hear about your adventures in San Diego, but I am a bit concerned. I recall not too long ago you were at New York Comic Con and Kara's foot was run over by a taxi. Now you are in San Diego and she tripped on a manhole. Some might say that Kara needs to be more careful when she walks near Comic Cons, but we all know that's bunk. Occam's razor and a keen knowledge gleaned from years of reading comics tells us that there is only one possible cause for these incidents. An ancient Comic-Con spirit is attempting to reach out from the underworld and communicate via Kara's ankles. Kara, you should immediately seek out a podiatrist medium so that we can discover what the spirit needs before it starts to target your kneecaps. I will smash an extra crystal for you as a form of protection, but please let us know what the Birkin psychic tells you. Thanks and keep mixing those comics. Ryan, at Some Geek Lawyer on Twitter.
Thanks, Ryan. I don't know. If the Comic-Con spirit is trying to communicate with me, it's probably saying, I need ice. My foot is actually still a little discolored from being run over by a cab, so I assume that's it. I did get it x-rayed, and nothing's broken. It's just still, you know, it's like almost a year later. And
it's dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's going to happen this year at New York Comic-Con? I'm going to get hit by a car.
Can you please not? Can we, if there's some like con juju,
you gave up on life, didn't you?
Can we not? Please.
Oh, boy. Oh. Next up, let's see.
That was beautiful, Ryan. Thank you.
Longish time listener, first time writer here. Just wanted to thank you both for the Comixologist. I've been avoiding the entire concept of podcasts since they were invented back in 1776, but got hooked on digital comics last year and decided to give your podcast a spin.
Yay!
You two have a whimsical camaraderie and are always entertaining. My aversion to technology is all but gone now. Stop me if I ever Pinterest, though, whatever that is. I'm curious, do you two get like master accounts where every book just shows up for free or a company credit card? And if so, do you use that power for evil? And that's from Trevor. I actually still have several subscriptions set up. I get Black Science every month, Five Ghosts. Plus, we just have a lot of comics around the office.
See, the thing is, Matt and I are terrible, horrible people, and we like to scale the walls of this building at night.
We're kind of freakish animals.
Break into the server room.
We're in the server room constantly,
maybe pulling bits of data. You know, in all those Marvel movies, there's always that scene where someone's hacking into a mainframe by hooking in a wire or something. You know the scene. We do that, but to get the comics.
If I had a nickel for every time I saw a car hacking bits, you know, I'd be a millionaire. Next up. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. You guys ever consider digitizing Peter David and Chris Cross's Captain Marvel run from the early 2000s? I loved it back in the day with some possibly outdated now pop culture references and the such. The whole Rick Jones, Janice Bond thing with interactions with Marlowe. Some laugh-out-loud moments. Lost track of the title when that creative team left. And since revisiting the Captain Marvel title through your site, have lost track of continuity since Carol Danvers running things now. Keep up the good work. Love ya casting. And that's from Nicholas in Sydney, Australia.
Well, thank you.
Get a wide variety of locales.
Yeah.
Can you hack into the bits and digitize that?
Well, in terms of continuity, there's so many events happening all the time. I don't really think you need to worry about continuity. You just need to worry about characters that you like.
Who cares about continuity these days?
Anyway, so
we'll put in a request.
We know a guy.
We do know some people at Comixology and maybe at some other publishers. We can put in a request and see if we can get that. Who knows? Yeah.
Who knows? Who does know?
Nobody. Not us.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for writing in. And don't forget to get your magical copy of Star Punch Girl.
Yeah.
Sign up for our newsletter. Check out our Comixology Conversations feed. There's snazzy new music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's a big
week. There's a lot to
do. It's a big week. Don't forget Archie vs. Sharknado. Let it into your life.
Oh, what a show. Great show.
Thank you. Thank you to all the nerd boys and nerd girls out there listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Let me see if Siri will answer that.
Wait.
How do you pronounce pejorative?
This can't be happening.
Let me have a look.
She's useless.